Mem Hei Amud Aleph, the Daf Mem Hei is going to teach us, in regards to idolatry, there are even things that are worshipped by non-Jews, and even though they are worshipped by the non-Jews, they are not prohibited, they are permitted. So the Mishnah now teaches us, Hanachrim ha'ovdin es ha'harim ves ha'gva'os. Let's say you have non-Jews that worship a mountain or worship a hill. Now, they didn't make that mountain or hill. That was made by God. So then, hey mutarin, the mountain and hill are permitted. Even though we've learned that you can't get any benefit from idolatry, that there's a special pasuk that applies to an idol that's made by people. But if people are worshiping something that God made, they're worshiping the sun, they're worshiping the moon, they're worshiping a mountain, they're worshiping a hill, they can't create a prohibition on the things that God made. And it's really based on the pasuk. The pasuk says, Eloheihen al haharim. Their gods are on all the mountains. The Gemara says, their gods are on the mountains. Their gods are not the mountains. They can't make the mountains their gods. So that's what the Mishnah says. Correct. Can't have the images, but you can get benefit from the sun and the moon. No one's going to say that we can't live because there are Gayim who are bowing to the sun and the moon. We can't prohibit. Since the Pasuk says, that's fine. The Pasuk though said, Lo Tasun Iti, which we interpret to mean, Lo Tasun, that which is Meshamesh Oti. Don't make that which serves me. But here we're saying that if non-Jews are worshipping something that God made, that doesn't create a prohibition. Exactly. We're going to see that. Very good.
What about the Indians that they believe in cow? Cow was created by God. So what are you going to do about the cow part?
Mm-hmm. So that's apparently different because the cow is movable. But when we talk about a mountain or the sun or and the moon, movable. Yeah. The
sun is moving too, no?
It is moving, but you know, the cow also, to some degree, they have a hand in it because they feed it, they cause it to grow more. So because they are involved in it, that's why there's avodah zarah.
Because they have babies or something?
No, they help feed it. They make it grow. They take care of it. But the sun and the moon, they are the way they are without this person's doing. This person has no impact on it. So again, the Mishnah says, Hanachim ovdim es ha'harim ves ha'gvos, the Gentiles who are worshipping the big mountains or the larger hill or the large hills, hein mutarim, the mountains stay permitted. However, umasha alehen, but if there is something on the mountain, which the Gemara will explain, let's say the mountain was covered with gold or silver, asurin, what's on the mountain does become prohibited. Shenamar, as the Pasuk says, Lo sachmod kesef izahav aleihem. Do not desire gold and silver that is on them. So think about the verse. The verse says, Psile Eloheihem tisrifun ba'esh. Their idols of their gods burn in fire. Lo tachmod kesef izahav aleihem. Do not desire the gold and silver that is on them. V'lakach talach, and you take it for yourself. Pentivakeshbo, lest you stumble in it. Rather, it is an abomination of God. So it says, Lo sachmod kesev ezav aleihem. Don't desire the silver and the gold that is on them. So that apparently is prohibited, and the Torah says, don't desire it.
So they could carve out a statue or a church or something in the mountain.
That I don't know. Here we're saying something which is on top of the mountain. Let's say the mountain was covered by metal plates because of them. So when they drove stakes into the metal plates to attach the metal plates to the mountain. So when there are non-Jews bowing to this mountain, the mountain itself is permitted. You could still go and take things out of the mountain, take stones out of the mountain. You can lean on the mountain. You can benefit from the mountain. But the metal plates that are on the mountain, that you can't. Because the verse says, the gold and silver on them. However, Rabbi Yossi Aglili says something else, a different source. The verse says, Abei Ta'abdun, destroy All the places where the nations worshipped, Asher Atem Yerushim Osam, that you are disinheriting, Es Eloheihem, where they worship their gods, Al Heharim Haramim, on the tall mountains, Balakvaos, on the regular hills, V'sachas Kol Eitzra Anan, and under every fresh tree. So the verse says, destroy what they worshipped on the mountains. So Yosef Gili says, Eloheihem Al Heharim, their statues are on their hills. But their hills are not gods. So now, if you're going to say that based on the verse, their gods are that which is on the mountain, not the mountain itself, so then there's a question, why is the tree prohibited, the Asherah tree? The verse says over there too, V'sachas kol etzra anan, and under every fresh tree, implying that that which is under the tree is prohibited, but not the tree itself. So I'll tell you, because the tree is really impacted by a person. A person planted it, and a person made it grow. And then again, and anything which had a human hand to it, Aser, is prohibited.
That's a cow.
A cow too? I guess you help it grow. That's right. Yes, according to the Tanakhama, yes. Amar Rabbi Akiva, Rabbi Akiva said, Ani ovin v'idon lefanecha. I will understand, or I will explain and interpret before you. Kol makom sh'atem otzei har gavoah v'givah nisa'ah v'eitzra anan. What the verse is trying to say is wherever you will find a tall mountain, a hill, a fresh tree, Dashi Yeshma Vodas Kochavim, know that there is idols there, but not to tell you that the only idol is the idol under the tree and not the tree itself. The point is that wherever there's a fresh place, a good place, there's an idol there. Go look for it and destroy it. Okay, so that was the Mishnah. So the Gemara now asks, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Hainu Tanakama. The Tanakama said that if Gentiles worship a mountain, the mountain is permitted, what's on the mountain is not permitted. Rabbi Yossi Aglili says, their gods are on the mountains, their gods are not the mountains. Isn't that the same thing as the Tanakhama? They're both saying that the mountain's not prohibited. Rabbi Yossi Aglili, Hainu Tanakhama. So Rabbi Yossi Aglili seems to be the same position as the Tanakhama. Answers the Gemara, Amar Rami Bar Chama Resh Lakish. Rami Bar Chama answered in the name of Resh Lakish. Tzipur Har Kehar Ika Beinai. There is a difference between them. And that is, let's say the non-Jews plated the mountain with some type of silver or gold, and then they start bowing down to this huge mountain, plated mountain. So now, that's the difference. Tanakhama Sava, the Tanakhama said, the non-Jews who are worshiping the mountain is permitted, but what is on the mountain is not allowed. So that is to say, Tanakhama apparently holds Tzipur Har Eino Kahar, that the plates, even though they are, you know, nailed into the mountain and attached to the mountain, the plating is not considered the mountain. So since the plating is not the mountain, the plating is viewed as something independent. So the non-Jew who is bowing, yes, they can't create a prohibition on the mountain, but the plates are something independent. They do become prohibited based on the pasuk, lo sachmod kesef v'zav aleihem, do not desire the silver and gold that is on them. That's the Tanakhama. And therefore, mitzar, the plates become prohibited. However, Rabbi Yossi Aglili, what's he adding? He holds Tzipur Har, Areyu Kahar, that if you have plates on a mountain, since they are attached to the mountain, they have the same status as the mountain. They become secondary to the mountain. Since the mountain itself cannot become prohibited, the plates can't become prohibited.
Rabbi, what does that mean, is permitted?
To get benefit from it.
You know, like, no, but they say, but we if they believe in mountain,
right,
we should allow them or permit them to do it? Is that what it is?
No, no. If, let's say they believe in a mountain and they bow to this mountain,
okay,
and they've covered this mountain with plates of silver.
Forget about the...
No. Let's focus on this for a second. Okay. They've covered the mountain with plates of silver,
right,
and they keep bowing to this whole contraption. So according to the view of the Tanakhama, the mountain, they can't prohibit it. So if you want to go into the mining business and mine stones out of the mountain, you can do. But if you want to go into the silver business and you want to take this silver and sell it to make money, that you can't. Because the silver is independent of the mountain, and it's something being, it's part of that which is being worshipped. So you can't get benefit. Whereas according to Rabbi Yossi Aglili, since the silver is attached to the mountain, it has the same status as the mountain. Since you could get benefit from the mountain, you can go take the silver and sell it and keep the money.
No, I understand that. First of all, did silver and gold come from inside the stone?
Yeah, but then they were attached afterwards. Right. They were taken out and attached to the mountain.
So forget about the silver and the gold part of it. If they worship the mountain.
Correct.
So we have to respect them for worshiping?
No. Since they are worshiping a mountain, and the verse says the gods are on the mountains, never the mountains themselves. So we just ignore what they did. We can go into business mining on that mountain or planting on that mountain.
Oh, I see. Okay.
We can get money off of that mountain. We can get benefit from that mountain. So this is one idea. So one idea is that the argument in the Tanakhama and Rabbi Yossi is about the covers of the mountains, things that are attached to the mountain. Rav Sheshes said, no, dekuli amotzipur har eino kehar. Everyone agrees that the plates put on a mountain are not the mountain. It's true they may be attached to the mountain, but they don't have the same status as the mountain. So the mountain is permitted, but the plates are prohibited. However, v'hacha, what's the argument between Rabbi Yossi Aglili and the Chachamim? Now turning to Mem Hayamud Beis. Not about plates. If there's a mountain that's plated and the non-Jews are bowing to this whole contraption, so the mountain they can't prohibit, but the plates do become prohibited, because the Torah says, Lo tachmod kesef v'zahav aleihem. Do not desire the silver and gold that is on them. So what's the argument? V'hach over here, b'ilan shenato l'vasof avdo kamiflagi. The argument is about the laws of Asherah. We know that there's such a thing as an Asherah tree. So he said, why is an Asherah tree, yes, prohibited? Rabbi Yossi said, because there was human hands in it. So what would happen if it was planted initially to produce fruit? It wasn't planted to be worshipped. Then after it grew up, then they start to decide to use it as an Asherah tree. That's the argument. Tanakama Savar, the first opinion holds, Ilan Shinato Levasof Avdo Mutter. If the tree was initially planted for fruit, and then they decide to start worshipping it, it stays permitted. Why? Because since he said that the mountains themselves are permitted, so the tree which was planted to it originally for fruit becomes part of the mountain. So then it's permitted. Even though later it's being worshipped. It's okay. It's already permitted. It doesn't become prohibited. And there's the pasuk, right? The pasuk says, "V'tachat kol eitz ra'anan," under the trees, is where you have idols, implying the trees themselves are not the idols. When are the trees not the idols? When the trees were initially planted for a non-idolatrous purpose, and only later were used for idols. However, Rabbi Yossi Aglili savar, Rabbi Yossi Aglili holds, "Ilan shenato ulavasof avdo." If the tree was planted initially for fruit and then they started to worship it, still us, it still becomes prohibited. It's not like the mountains because it's a product of what human beings do. And therefore, it becomes prohibited. So the Gemara now says, Mimai, how do you know that Rabbi Yossi holds this? How do you know that Rabbi Yossi holds that a tree that was originally planted for a secular purpose and then they started to worship it also becomes prohibited as an Asherah? Midiktani Seifa, because listen to the words of Rabbi Yossi in the end. Rabbi Yossi says, I'm telling you, the verse is saying the gods are on the mountains, implying that the mountains themselves aren't gods. So if so, you should also say that with the trees, since the verse says there are gods under the trees, that implies that the trees themselves are not gods. So mipnei ma'asherah asura, why is the tree prohibited? Mipnei sheyesh b'tfisas adam, because the tree is made by people, it's planted by people. And then he repeats it. V'chol sheyesh b'tfisas adam, v'chol sheyesh b'tfisas yidei adam asur. And anything that had human hands in its creation is prohibited. So why do you repeat it? V'chol sheyesh b'tfisas adam lasuye mai. Why does he repeat it twice? Look at the Mishnah. Go back to Mem Hei Amud Aleph. Let's just read the words of the Mishnah. Rav Yosef Yagdili Omer, Eloheihem al Harim. Eloheihem, Eloheihem. The verse says their gods are on the mountains, implying their gods are on the mountains. Their mountains are not gods. Eloheihem al Hakvaos, their gods are on the hills. Vlogvos Eloheihem, but the hills themselves are not gods. Umipnei ma sheira asura. And then why is a tree prohibited? Mipnei sheyeshba tfisas yidei adam. Because in the tree there is the human hand that helped make it. And then repetition. V'chol sheyeshba tfisas yidei adam asur. And anything that has a human hand in its creation is prohibited. So why repeat it? That's what the Gemara is saying here. Mipnei sheyeshba tfisas yidei adam. Because there is in it the human hand. And then a repetition. V'chol sheyesh patvisas yidei adam. Anything that has a human hand in its creation is usher, is not allowed. V'chol sheyesh patvisas adam. Lasuye mai. Why is it repeated? Lav lasuye ilan shenatul vasof avdo. Presumably it's to include even a tree that was planted initially for the right purposes, for secular purposes, for fruit or whatever, for shade. And then he decided to start worshipping it is also prohibited because anything that has human hands in its creation is not allowed. Tanakama? That's okay. You can disagree with him.
I disagree with David.
Yeah, Rabbi Yossi.
But
1 second, David had a question.
That's klal min apat.
Well, it's from the fact that there are no extra words. So if it's repeated, it's got to teach us something.
So the tree that is planted by a human being, not allowed. Is that what you're saying?
We're saying if the tree was planted by the human being initially, not for Avodah Zarah, and then humans, after it grew, start to use it for Avodah Zarah, that's the argument. Tana Kama holds that that is permitted, and Rav Yosef becomes prohibited.
Just because
and how about those trees that are naturally, you know, grow up in a forest by themselves, you know? So how about those trees, Rabbi? No human being touched them or
sounds like that would be allowed.
That would be allowed.
Ta'af Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda Savar says the Gemara Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, also holds Ilan Shinato Ulavasof Avdo, a tree that was planted initially for a secular planting and then it was worshipped. Aser also becomes prohibited. The Tanya from Lenten of Brisa, Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, the son of Rabbi Yehuda, says, Mitoch Shenamar, since the verse says, Eloheihem al Harim, their gods are on the mountains. Velohe Harim, Eloheihem, whereas the mountains themselves are not gods. That's what we're saying. Their gods are on the mountains. That's what's a god, but not the mountains themselves. Then it says, Eloheihem al Hagvaos, their gods are on the hills. That means, V'lo Hagvaos Eloheihem, but the hills themselves are not gods. Shomei ani, so if that's the way you're reading this verse, so then read the end of the verse. V'tachat kol etz ra'anan, and under every fresh tree. So say like this, Tachas kol etz ra'anan Eloheihem, under the trees could be a god. V'lo ra'anan Eloheihem, but the tree itself is not a god. So you say, what, the trees are never prohibited? That can't be. Talmud Lomar, against that, the verse says, Vashereihem tisrfun be'esh. You should burn their trees. That means trees can become prohibited. So since it's saying trees can become prohibited, that sounds like what he's saying is that even a tree that was initially planted for the right reasons and then it was worshipped also becomes prohibited. Because if he would hold that a tree planted for the right purposes that's later worship does not become prohibited, then you could say under the trees are prohibited, but the trees are not prohibited. Namely, the trees that are planted for the right purposes are never prohibited. The fact that he didn't say that, he's saying that from Asherehem you learn that the trees can become prohibited, implies that a tree planted for the right purposes and then worshipped does become prohibited. So actually not, because we have a rule, Ein Adam Oser Davar She'eino Shelo. No one can prohibit what they don't own. So if it's your tree and you plant it and someone else decides to bow in front of it, that's okay. Your tree still remains permitted. They
right.
can't impact
so
it.
You're still responsible for all
no, they can't create a prohibition on what is yours.
Oh, they can't.
They cannot, because it's yours.
So you're just saying stone tree.
Right, another tree, an ownerless tree.
That way, if they take a tree and take some branches off of it and make a statue out of it, the rest of the tree is contaminated?
No.
No?
No. So now, says the Gemara, Ella, if so, if a tree that was initially planted for a secular purpose, and then it gets worshipped, becomes prohibited. So then, Tachas Kaleitzer Anan Lamali, why did the verse say, destroy the idols that are under the trees? Even some of the trees have to be destroyed. So he answers the Gemara, Yilukad Rabbi Akiva Da'asa. That's just what Rabbi Akiva meant. That's the verse is needed for the simplest meaning. Tam Rabbi Akiva, as we learned in the Mishnah, Ani Ovin Vadon Lefanecha, I will explain and teach it before you. Verse is trying to say, Kalmakam Shatamotse Har Gavoa, wherever you find a tall mountain, the Givanisa, or a tall hill, the Itzra'anan, or a fresh tree, know that everywhere they made their idols. So therefore, go look there and get rid of those idols. The Ashiyeshim Avodas Kochavim, know that there is idols there. V'Rabbanan, now the Rabbanan who say that a tree that was initially planted for a secular purpose and then worshipped is permitted. So therefore, he's going to say that the verse is saying under the trees is prohibited, but the trees themselves are allowed. So what does he learn from the fact that the verse says you have to destroy the trees of the idols? He needs it. For a tree that was planted initially for Avodah Zarah, those are the trees that you have to destroy.
Are you allowed to sell like a Christmas tree to someone that uses it as a catalyst for Avodah Zarah, but it's not necessarily using it to worship the tree?
So if it's real Avodah Zarah, then not. But as Jason pointed out, the first Tosos in the Tosos on the first page of the Masechta says that maybe the Christians are not really idolaters. I would think that in America, most of the trees here are not really Avodah Zarah. It's more like just an excuse to give gifts. I don't think they're really worshiping this thing. They throw it out in the garbage afterwards. They don't treat it with respect. It's just a way to give gifts.
It makes them happier on the holiday.
It's noi chag.
Makes them happier on the holiday.
What?
So ask the Gemara for Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda. Now, according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that... do you need the key? One second. Roger, do you need the key to open up the front door?
Bud is in the front.
Oh, Bud's there already?
Sure,
oh, okay.
But put a sign because people are waiting.
Waiting outside, okay. Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, now according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, who said that a tree planted for the right reasons, that's later worshipped, also becomes prohibited. So not even by the Lachi, but doesn't he need Vashrayim to Sifunleish to tell me that a tree planted initially for Avodah Zarah is prohibited? So Achanami, he needs that for that. How does he know that a tree planted for the right purposes and later worshipped also becomes prohibited? Nafkale, he learns it from another sentence. And their trees, their Asherah trees, you shall, chop down. What is a tree? Shegiduo asur, the thing that it grew up that you can chop down is prohibited. V'ikaro, but the initial roots are mutter, are allowed. Have a Mary lunch natol of a sofavdo. That's a reference to a tree that was planted for the right purposes, and then they started worshiping it. So since they planted it for the normal purposes initially, it was fine. So the roots that were formed were fine. But later, once they start worshiping it, what's growing is not allowed. So that already grew up. So that's saying that has to be destroyed. So the Gemara asks, "Vahav Ashrayim Tisufun Be'esh Kanasav Leitzalmuda." But earlier the Gemara said that according to Rabbi Yosef Rabbi Yehuda, the source that a tree that was planted for secular purposes and later worshipped has to be destroyed is the phrase "Ashrayim Tisufun Be'esh." So the Gemara says, "Ilu Lo Ne'amar Kamar." Had we didn't have this phrase, that's what it means. "Ilu Lo Ne'amar Tisufun Be'esh." if we didn't have the sentence, you shall burn in fire. Hayisi Omer v'Asherihem Tegadiyun. Then I would have thought that Asherihem Tegadiyun chopped down their Asherahs. Is Be'ilun Shenatu Mitchilu Lekach. That's referring to a tree that was planted initially for an Asherah. But once we have the verse saying Vashirehem, their Asherah should be burned in fire. I truly, so it's extra. Asherahem to Gadiyun. For Ilan Shinatul Vasof Avdo, for a tree that was planted for a fine purpose and later is worshipped. Says there a Gemara, V'Rabbanan. Now the Rabbanan who say that a tree that is planted for a fine purpose and only later worshipped is allowed entirely. You don't have to chop it down at all. Right, that's what we said is the argument between them and Rabbi Yossi. Hai v'asherihem tegadiyun mayavdile. So what do they learn from the phrase asherihem tegadiyun? They use it like Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. They use it for Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi taught. I'm Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi taught that when you enter into the land of Israel, gidu'ei ovde avodas kochavim, chopping down the parts of the tree that were being worshipped by the non-Jews, kod melekibush eretz Yisrael. That's even more important than conquering the land. First, you chop down the Avodah Zarah. Then you conquer the... Right, first clean it up, as Izzy says. Then you conquer the land. However, Kibush Eretz Yisrael, but then you conquer the land, Kodem Levir Avodah Zkochavim, before you actually destroy the tree entirely, before you uproot the roots. So you chop down the trees, conquer the land, then you go to the uprooting. The Tani Rav Yosef, as Rav Yosef taught us, the Pasuk says, when you go into the land, you shall shatter their statue, their altars. Yeshibartemes matzevosam, you shall shatter their statues. Vasherem tisrufun ve'esh, and their asherahs you should burn. Venitatstemes mizbechosam, you should shatter their altars. Vahanach, you don't have to burn them. Vishibartemes matzevosam, you shall smash their statues. Vahanach, and then you can leave those smashed powders. V'hanach salkat aitach, you could leave it. Sreifa ba, you have to burn all these things. The verse says, their idols shall be burned in fire. So Ravuna says what it means like this. When you first go in, you break their altars. You break their statues. And you leave the broken pieces. And then, Urdof, and you go, you know, chase all the non-Jews and conquer the land. V'yachakach, once you're peaceful in the land, then Srof, then you burn the broken pieces. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda, who uses the verse Vashem Tegadayun to teach me that a tree planted for a secular purpose and only later worshipped is prohibited. Hai Svar Minali, how does he know this law about how we go into the land? So Nafgalei, he learned it from a different phrase. The verse says, Abei Te Abdun, destroy, you shall destroy. So that sounds like you destroy twice. You break it, then you destroy it further. Abei, then you conquer the land, and then after conquering the land, V'acharkach Te Abdun, then you totally annihilate. Rabbanan, what do they use Abei Tabdun for? Hami Boile, they learn it for the following. They need it for Lo'okar, Avodas Kochavim, when you uproot idols, Shatzarach L'Sharei Shachrea, you have to go to the very roots and uproot the roots. Rabbi Yosef Yehuda L'Sharei Shachrea Minali, how does he know that you have to uproot the very roots? Nafkale, he learns it from the phrase, V'ibadtem Eshemam in Amakomahu, you shall destroy their name from that place. That means you have to uproot it fully. And Rabbanan will tell you, what does V'ibadtem Eshemam teach you? That teaches you l'chanos l'shem, that you're supposed to make up names that insult avodah zarah. That's why there's the custom to say, I don't know, cheese and crackers or kratzmach, to make fun of the name of avodah zarah. Rabbi Chananya ben Akashi Omer, Ratzon HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'zakos Yisrael, l'fichach